What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, bring in the Saints radio color analyst, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us. Deuce, it was made official yesterday. I know we've talked about it a number of times, but I'll get your thoughts now after kind of looking it over, well over a week now, on Kellen Moore as the new head coach of the Saints, and it'll be made official tomorrow at 11:30. And again, WWL will carry that press conference live right here on the Big 870. But I think everybody's interested in the staff, but it's because that's the next thing on the list, so to speak. So your thoughts on Kellen, and also what you think he might be looking for staff-wise?
Yeah, I think when you look at it overall, you know, probably the Saints are pleased to be able to get Kellen Moore. And, you know, I think from everything that you see from a player standpoint, I know they're excited, you know. And so the biggest thing for me now is, like you really said, from a staff component, who do you surround him with? You know, particularly being a first-time head coach, you want to make sure that he probably has one or two staffers on his staff. I know Coach Staley is one of those guys that's been mentioned, but you want to make sure that he has one or two staffers on his staff that have been head coaches prior. And so whether that's in the NFL, whether that's college, just to make sure from an administrative standpoint, you can help take some of that pressure off of him. And then it becomes, you know, OC, DC, what are your philosophies? I mean, because if you're going to have a complete roster change, then that obviously needs to come into effect. And, you know, getting him up to speed to what you've done at the Senior Bowl and even some of the other bowl games, you know, just getting him up to speed to that aspect. You have the combine coming up in a couple of weeks, so making sure that you're on the same page there. And then, you know, while all that is going on, you still have to be in talks of how you want to construct the players that you do have, you know, to make sure that you get cap compliant. And so they will have a couple of plans already. You know, let's just say this is plan A, this is plan B, this is plan C. This is how we can get, create, let's just call it $12 million of funding after we get up under salary cap compliance. This is how we can create $7 million of cap compliance. You know, if we make these moves and have X amount of posts, you can only have two, but these are players that we can release post June 1st, but we have to get cap compliant before then this creates X amount of salary cap. All of those things have to be going on now, even though he doesn't have a staff, et cetera, or even really know your roster in detail, but all of those things are happening now.
Deuce, one of the things I know we live in that kind of world where we want instant success, but, you know, you look at this roster and you can see it's going to be some overhaul and a major retooling, not only from starters, from a depth standpoint, and not having a lot of money, to spend in free agency. You're going to, a lot of this is rebuilding wise, you're going to have to hit in the draft because I think that's going to be the key point for 2025. You might be able to get a couple of veteran guys that not going to cost you a lot of money, but I think the emphasis is with so many picks now that you've been able to accumulate, and I'm all for more draft picks because I think that's where you get better. And it's if you hit, it's football minimum wage. You're not paying them a lot of money at this stage of the game. That this is the start of it's just not a little shakeup on the roster. It's going to be a big shakeup on the roster.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some of that is from a production standpoint. Some of that is because of, salary cap. But, to say that they can't spend money, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think their vision has kind of changed as well, where they don't want to be doing the song and dance they've done the last, let's call it 5 or 6 years there. They want to kind of be in the middle of the road of where, hey, we can be aggressive, but we don't have to, and we are cap compliant, where if we want to go out there and we can do some things, they can do so. So there's a couple different ways. I mean, I don't think that you have to completely bottom out this year just so you can say we are picking in the top five and we're playing a ton of young players, because trust me, if a veteran guy sees that his market may not be what it wanted to be, and he can sign a one-year kind of prove-it deal, and you can be creative with that structure in that deal, then you'll be able to get some players. It may not be top-line players, but you'll be able to get some players in here that want to know that they're going to play a lot. They want to be able to get back to the bargaining table to sign a better deal. You'll have some of those opportunities.
Deuce, on Super Bowl Sunday, I know you got to be proud of A.J. Brown. Guy goes to Ole Miss, and they didn't want to pay him in Tennessee, and it got John Robinson fired there, because I remember him telling me, Mike, I'm not paying no wide receiver over $20 million a year. And, well, that didn't go down too well, because they're still trying to find a receiver that can play nearly as well as A.J., and he was a big part of that attack, and you could tell him and Devontae, it's great to see from Emead High School and to do what he's done throughout his career as a Heisman Trophy winner and, wins a national championship at Alabama and now a champion here in the National Football League. But A.J. Brown, I know you know him well, and your thoughts on A.J. and finally getting that elusive world title, so to speak.
Yeah, you're proud for him. I mean, it's a lot of work that you put into it, and to have that opportunity, like you said, kind of didn't work out for him in Tennessee, and he's found a home so far up in Philly, and just to be able to showcase what you can do. And here's the thing about it, you're still talking about a prospect that had flirted with baseball. I mean, he was a heck of a baseball player coming out of high school, and even in college, he flirted with the thought of it. But I think that he made the right decision. And so, physical receiver, he's a competitor. Kind of has to try to, control the emotions at times. A lot of people think that he's angry, but he's really a really good kid, and you're proud and happy for him. Well deserved. And so, AJ, I know he'll be showcasing one that smile, and then he's going to be showcasing the new hard word that he gets. But not only that, having relationships with a couple other guys. I know Ron Walker, his Yazoo buddy, has won another championship. Running back over there, and you're talking about a kid that played up in Memphis, not even the SEC, and Gainwell, and that's what it's about. Even Saints fans, I know at times we're upset. You look at Chauncey getting one, and you look at Zach getting one, and Book gets one as well, and so Vic Fangio gets his first ring, and he's been coaching for a long, long time, and that organization. They've hit on draft picks. They have some high offensive guys that they're paying really well, but defensively they were able to hit on some pieces, and they end up being world champions.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Deuce, I was telling Charlie this. Man, Vic Fangio, when he first came here, you know, Vic's not a real big guy. And when he was coaching here with the Saints the first time, under Moore, if he was 165 pounds, he was plenty. I mean, he was a real thin dude. Charlie finally got to see a picture of him when he was with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, it was 1996, dude.
And I told him, man, Charlie, he's heavy now. You know, he was probably 175, 180. Now, he's a little bit more now than he was back then. But, man, you feel, you know, so great for Vic because you think about it. He won in the USFL. He wins a title there. And how long that's been till he wins an NFL championship. Look all the places he's been. He's almost been, you know, like a military guy. They moved him all around. He's went from place to place. They didn't like the fact that, you know, he might have been a hard line coach with him in Miami. They didn't care for that. So he goes to Philly, and he, you know, he helps in a big part of bringing them a world title.
Yeah, a huge part of it. And I think, you know, when you can most players want to be coached. Most players want to be coached. You know, if I'm doing something right, then yes, you can congratulate me, but how can you get me better? That's the challenge that coaches have to be able to connect with players. And so, you know, that'll be a challenge for Coach Moore as well. How can I motivate guys? Some guys are motivated by money, but most guys are motivated by this coach is getting me better. This coach is challenging me, not only mentally, but from a physical aspect. And, you know, I think that's what Vic was able to do to get the most out of what he had from a talent standpoint and then to find a scheme that really worked for him. And so you're always probably revert back to who you are as a play caller. But if that scheme, you know, isn't necessarily what my team does well, why am I continuing to run this? Why am I doing this? You know, I thought it was to be successful. It's not about to say, oh, I had the number one defense. Oh, I had the number one offense. But we struggled in X, you know, category. You're hurting the players more so than you're hurting yourself.
Deuce, I've never seen this before. Maybe you have on a Super Bowl champ. They ran the football more than any other team in pro football, and they threw the least amount of passes. They were 1-32. I can't remember another NFL team who wins a Super Bowl and is 1-32. Basically, 1 in rushing and 32 in attempts, passing-wise.
You know where I probably have to go back to? And we would be going back some decades or at least some years. It would probably have to be Shanahan's team with Elway and Terrell Davis.
Okay.
I mean, I think about that. And that was just because they ran that zone so well, that outside zone so well. But, I mean, you still had Sharp out there and you still had McCaffrey. So I don't know if they were number 32 because they could throw it, but they were a running football team. And so that's the type of team that you would have to go back. And we're talking about years.
That's,
I mean, we're not talking about in the last 5 to 10 years. We're talking about almost 30 years, if not longer.
Deuce, before we let you run, I want to get your thoughts on Kellen's just resume as a 36-year-old, because we've had people call in and say, oh, he's too young, he's not ready to be a head coach. We spoke with Babe Laufenberg, the color analyst for the Cowboys, a couple weeks back, and Babe made a great point. He basically said at some point every coach is a first-time head coach in the NFL, and with Kellen Moore, I know that he's a young guy, he's the youngest head coach in the NFL now, but the 6 years that he spent as an offensive coordinator, he found a ton of success. CBS Sports has a great stat that when he was with the Cowboys from 2019 through 2022 is the OC there. They were number 2 in both yards and points per game, only behind the Chiefs. And then he spent 2023 with the Chargers in that miserable 5-12 campaign that got Brandon Staley fired. But then 2024, he wins a Super Bowl with the Eagles. So your thoughts on his resume as a young first-time head coach?
Well, there will be things that he kind of adjusts to being a head coach. I mean, it will be his choice. It will have to be a situation where he has a few people that he leans on as far as some of the decisions that he makes, some of the things that he wants to do and how he sees fit for that team. And that's why I think surrounding him with the veteran staff will be critical for him. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it'll be his call. He's been around football long enough, whether you're talking about college, NFL, as well as pros. He's been with different organizations enough to know how he wants to do things, what he feels works for his team, and then having veteran players to be able to lean on, I think will be important for him as well. And so get him what he needs from a staffing standpoint and then from a player standpoint. It won't be solved, like Mike talked about. It won't all be solved in year one. But at the same time, I don't think that the Saints are looking for, hey, you have to make the playoffs in the next 2 years, and if you don't, you're going to be on the hot seat. I don't think that this is that type of situation.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us. I know we'll be talking again real soon. But, again, I told this Dave Bear. He said, Mike, I agree with you. We're going to have a more eventful offseason than in season.
Oh, I agree. I mean, a lot of things will happen over the next, let's call it 6 weeks, because, hey, they kind of have to.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Deuce. Appreciate it, bud.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Deuce McAllister, Saints radio color analyst.